You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I know you'll be alright, even when times get hard and you feel like you're in the dark. You will see just how beautiful life can be when you soften your heart. You can finally start to live your truth. Life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Truthiest Life. It's your host, Lisa Haim. You may or may not remember me because it has been 6 months since my last episode, and it's been about 6 months, same amount of time, since I have used social media at all, both for professional and personal use. Have not clicked any of those trapping icons, such as Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, none of it. 6 freaking months, my longest break yet. And this is not necessarily my comeback podcast, but I do want to come to the surface for this moment to share a bit about where I've been. I feel that there's so much that I want to share that I don't want to lose on this journey, but I don't want to send the wrong message that I'm fully back and I'm energized and I know exactly where I'm going. Instead, I want to be really honest that there's still a lot of question marks for me. And it seems that the more I hang out in this, let's call it lost phase of I don't know, the more I realize that I do know. And lost and found are kind of losing their meaning for me, where they don't have the same charge. Not knowing exactly what's going on in my life professionally and personally in a lot of ways too doesn't feel as jarring 6 months in. There have certainly been moments where it has, but the more I actually settled and softened into those moments, the more I was like, wow, I'm so glad that I kept going with this because I kept unlocking so much really important, valuable information about myself that eventually will inform how I show up, if I show up, the way that I show up, the amount that I show up, who shows up with me. And these are really important changes as I've been on social media for, I don't know, probably over a decade. And having this kind of time out to pause on the side of the mountain and decide which way I want to go, it's really necessary for my mental health and in order to sustain whatever comes next and have it come from a place of truth versus fear. So first of all, if you are a Truthiest Life listener, I just want to say thank you. And if you've been following me on social media or have worked with me in the past, I also want to say thank you. I know I don't owe anybody an explanation, but at the same time, I have shared a lot of my life with you over the past decade, and I said I was going to come back after 3 months, and then another 3 months went by, and I didn't. That feels a tad unfair in the sense that I know, again, I don't owe anything to anybody, but I at the same time, I'm really, really thankful for your interest in my process. I guess that's really what I really want to say here. So a lot has really, you know, changed in my life. Just up front, for those of you that are avid Truthiest Life listeners, I want to be clear that for now, I'm using it to pop in, and those will mostly be solo episodes, and we are not going back to regular new episodes every Friday as previously it has been done. Not to say that I won't be back there, but as of right now, I'm still in the how do I want to use my voice, and I want to get complete clarity on that before I reemerge in this space. So just want to mention that out the door. I also want to share that this is not my first reemergence back to my audience. I have used my Substack, which is my newsletter, a couple of times over the last month, and it felt really good to connect back with you all and my community. And it felt really good to do so in that way, in the way that does not have an algorithm. It's direct, me to you. There's no games involved. There's no, you know, big businesses involved. And what I loved most was the responses. I heard immediately back from lots of you whose names I've interacted with over the years, old friends, and I got that like excitement again of, yes, this is why I used to do it, because of the beautiful connections and mirrors that we hold up to each other and hugs that we kind of give each other and the sameness that we learn that we find through the sharing from the heart, even if we are really, really different. And a lot of the emails that people do write me are always like, our lives are nothing alike, but I relate to you in this way. And I think those are kind of like the most beautiful things. I'm not meant to be relatable to every single person because I am me. You're not meant to be relatable to every single person because you are you. But to be able to find those points of connectedness and help ourselves feel more whole and less alone is what keeps me in this game to begin with. So I recently sent out an email to, it was my first email to my Substack community. And the title of this email was, Is She Ever Coming Back? And I gave a little insight as to where I'm going, what has been coming up for me, and where I am headed for 2024, or where I think I'm headed, because one thing I've learned over the last couple of years, or particularly the last year, is that you never really know. But if you are interested in staying up to date in a way that feels really good for me, my Substack is going to be the best way. And those people will also get first access to learning about offerings that I have, such as a 2024 MeTreat, the retreat that I hosted last year called the MeTreat. We are doing it again. So you're going to want to get on that email. But anyway, this email was where I kind of gave a little bit of the inside scoop as to how I fell off of the earth these last 6 months. And I think that a lot of people think that being off social media is like, wow, you must feel so good. And while, yes, there is a lot of that, there was also a really, 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 really big discomfort that came from pausing and being with self. Even as somebody that is, you know, very attuned to the ways that I distract and numb, I am still not able to see in the moment how much of a filler checking social media was, refreshing, posting, the, you know, highs of serotonin even that you get when you do post and people clap and all of that. So anyway, what I said in this email, essentially, in case you missed it, is that as soon as I went offline, I really realized how burnt out I was on all fronts, not just the work front, but the nervous system front. And with everything that went on last year, I just was in need of much more than a social media detox. What I really needed was a full-on pull the plug, don't even attempt to reboot situation. I also shared in this email that a lot of privilege and privilege guilt came with this, but one thing that is really important to me is that I reduce the amount of harm that I cause. I don't believe that we're capable of not causing harm, period. But the more aware of ourselves we are, and the more we spend time with that, sitting with that, and learning about other experiences and people and all of that, the better chances we have of reducing our harm. And it really, really, really took recognizing that I'm not sitting from my most sturdy place. And therefore, just because I have a platform and a business does not mean that I should keep going. In fact, I have a responsibility to like tortoise up, go back into my shell and make sure that my words have meaning. I don't believe in speaking without having a purpose. And although that hurts my business in seasons like this, it is also what is the fire that lights me up to speak about topics when they are feeling like they can't even stay in my body anymore. So one thing about me that you should all know is that I don't ever want to talk or create content just for the sake of it. I do believe in using my voice, but there are also seasons where not talking is also the ultimate power move. I wrote that silence is a radical act of self-care, but unlike a bubble bath, it comes with far more resistance. Inner dialogue, it gets so loud when we get actually quiet, discomfort, and honest self-reflection. And as soon as I shut that door to a lot of the outside world, I realize that I'm going to be here for a while. Pauses in life, this whole original email was about the pause. They're absolutely critical. They're not handed out. And they're also very emotionally complicated. This summer really ripped my heart open, and I allowed for that to be. And I felt so grateful that I had the space to let myself really fall apart and feel what I was feeling and go really deep in therapy to figure out what, why, who, what, when, and really gain a deeper knowledge of myself. It's funny because this podcast is called The Truthiest Life, right? And you'd think I'm living my truthiest life. And even the most authentic people out there, right, there's always more learning to do about ourselves. So I guess it should really be called a quest to live our most truthiest lives. Anyway, the whole thing that I learned is that I have really changed my definition and also my desire for success as I knew it, because success in our world, our society, often means overriding the parts of myself that I got to examine and see. I know that the big question that people want to hear from me is if I'm coming back to social media. And the more time I spend on here, the more people are like, okay, seriously, are you ever coming back? Or I have friends say that other friends are asking them, like, where is Lisa Haim? And it's kind of funny because I think that people are asking me not to rush me or confuse me, because sometimes the question does jostle me because I forget that I'm not on social media and all of a sudden I have to answer that question and I don't have it. But I think that it really comes from everybody else's desire to have a life without social media. And it's kind of funny because this is all a choice to use it, and yet we are acting like we are shackled by it. And I get that, like, a lot of news and, you know, understanding politics is now coming through that funnel in also a much more digestible way. And there are also many positives to social media. That is not what I'm saying out here. We don't need to throw out the baby with the bathwater. But there is also a life without social media where I do stay up to date on current events, but I'm not inundated with it in the same way that I was. And the funny thing about being inundated is perhaps we don't realize that we are inundated or drowning as it's happening. But a good look back into the last couple years of my life, and oh my gosh, did the emotions swell and swell and swell and stay with me and had no reprieve. And it really sucks you in. And I witness it in my own home with Evan, my partner, who is on social media, the way his brain has become by way of things going on in the world. It's important, again, to like know and stay connected and be heartfelt and passionate about it and even lose sleep over the terrible things going on. But there also comes a small part where you got to take a step back and even realize the exact information you're being fed is still just a portion of the story. Okay. I do realize that I am going off on some tangents and talking about some things unplanned during this episode, and I'm giving myself the freedom to do so because if you read my recent newsletter, it was all about urgency, and it's one of the major things that I'm working on with myself. Our culture really has some built-in urgency built into everything that we do, and me specifically, my family systems, I have always lived with urgency pushing me forward, and that is not really living, and it ramps up my nervous system, it quickens my breath, it steals joy, and it makes me a less productive and less enjoyable person to be around. So for the sake of this episode and my life, by the way, I'm really working on not letting urgency creep up and destroy the smooth path that I'm walking. You know, having a toddler is one of the quickest ways to really have opportunity to see all the ways that you're creating urgency. You try to rush a toddler and it's pretty much impossible. But it's very easy to catch myself when I notice myself saying, okay, we're just going to go do this and quickly, 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 right? And all of that just makes things more complicated. This podcast specifically as well, I reflect back and I realize that I also have put urgency and time limits on how long I'm allowed to talk because how long do people have? So for the sake of me leaning into the things that I've been working on, for this episode, I'm giving myself the freedoms to wiggle and move and flow with the conversation as it's coming through me and allow the podcast to kind of dictate where we go rather than me dictate where we're going to go. So if I start to meander and you're like, where is she going? I just ask you to bear with me, grab a cup of tea, come back, do whatever you got to do because we're going in all the directions and I hope you're going to come with. Okay, so going back to my social media break, it's true. I am not up to date on most pop culture references. I don't know what's trending on Amazon. I don't have access to a lot of influencer discount codes, but my life is very, very full. So when it comes to the question of will I come back to social media, I can't answer that right now. What I do know is that I'll be back in work and of service again. What that looks like, when exactly it is, and how it includes social media as I know it are still big questions that I continue to resist the urge to feel like I have to answer. Again, I really want to clarify that social media isn't the enemy. It played a critical role in so much of my difficult parts of 2023 and also the probably most powerful work-shaping thing that I did, which was hosting the Meetreat in Guatemala. And on that note, I'm very excited to share that the second ever Meetreat will be happening in April of this year. It will be actually a little bit different. It will be Camp Meetreat, and those details will be coming live first and foremost to my newsletter/Substack community. So if you're interested, make sure you're on that list. We do have limited spaces by nature of how many beds, and the experience is going to be insane. I'm so excited, and it feels so good to be working from a place of doing something that I love rather than doing things that are absolutely obligatory.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
All right, zooming back out for a minute, there was a quote I read recently from Emma Watson, the actress who stepped back from acting the last few years. And she said, "I'm so glad that I allowed for things to be messy for a minute. And I really allowed myself to not know what's next. Because the knowing that I've come to, I wouldn't trade that for the world." And this quote, it feels like an oxygen mask for me. I don't know about you, but when I read it, it felt like, again, a permission slip to not only be afraid to zoom out, but to know that we really have to. And I want to share, I guess, a little bit more about where last year took me and how I kind of ended up in this very fried state. So the last year, in case you're new here or you forget, I went through in the course of 5 or 6 months, an ectopic pregnancy very quickly that got kind of covered up by my daughter's first hospitalization, and then a few months later, the second hospitalization. And I think like those trio of events really, really, really put me in a different state of being. It wasn't just a state of mind, it was a state of nervous system. It created a gripping in my life. It created fear. It created a me that was always scanning for danger. Back in June, I went to a work event with Evan, my husband, and I was seeing people that I hadn't seen in a while, and I was giving them hugs, and I realized as I went to give them a hug and a kiss, I would feel their temples to feel if they had temperature or not. And it was in that moment that I realized like how heightened my senses are at all time to be on the lookout for danger. And that's not nothing. That's not like a regular way to be, but it was my first sign of really realizing that despite being out of the danger zone for the time being, I might as well just as well be in it because I'm acting as if. And I don't know if you've had any sort of experiences like that before, but my light bulb really went off that I am living in a different state of mind and a different body and a different nervous system. And it took me by surprise as if, you know, of course I knew those events were stressful, but I didn't realize how they had integrated into my biologic protective mechanism to the point where I wasn't even using that radar appropriately, right? It's meant to just find out if my daughter has a fever, not every doctor and that I was hugging at this doctor event that I was at. But the hospital stays really did take a lot out of me. I think one of the hardest parts of motherhood that is not spoken about, not to take a pivot for the dark right here, is that even outside of her hospitalizations, from the second she was born, you are face to face with mortality in ways that you otherwise, or for myself, I should say, have a much better lid on. You know, for my 20s and early 30s before pregnancy and having a baby, obviously we know that the death, it can happen. But something really ramps up when you become a mother, where you start thinking about your own or your child, and you try and tuck it away, and it's a really big part of the postpartum era. Even biologically, it's meant to be there so that we can have a heightened sense of awareness to protect our children. It's very primal and biological and beautiful, and it kind of starts to fade as the child gets older and they, you know, don't need us as much for as many things. But if you have a child that is very sick and doctors don't have answers and you see them in so much pain, it's really digs that up in a way that you might as well be, you know, cutting out an organ without anesthesia. And that's really the level of pain that we went through this year. I know that I have been vague regarding Soli's health. And I also know a big question I get is, how is Soli's health? So it's such a beautiful thing that that is the first question that I get, that so many of you care about my most precious. And I want to say that she's doing really, really well right now. We have not had another hospitalization. And I also want to share that I have not shared details of everything because I'm really learning that I don't know what she will want to have shared, and she is her own person, and therefore telling her story, although there are parts of it that are really important and have awoken parts of me that I'm so passionate about when it comes to child advocacy and all the work and alert and vigilance that that part takes, I also really have come in the last 6 months to value and respect her as an individual. And it's not because she's older, but it is because I've really scaled it back and started to explore parenting styles. And with that has come so much more understanding that they're always whole people. And I know you're probably thinking, of course, a baby's a real person. But most of society doesn't really treat babies like people. We kind of talk around them. We don't talk to them. We don't tell them what's going to happen. We, you know, we think just because they can't talk that they don't know. And I have really drastically changed my approach to parenting, which has, by the way, made parenting so much more enjoyable. We're not going to say easier because I do have a toddler and I don't remember the last time I got 7 hours of consecutive sleep. But I do want to share that a lot has kind of shifted in that. And I originally did check in with myself when I had Soli about, like, do I want to share her with the internet? And I just felt such a beam of light that she had to give to the world that I moved forward with that. Taking it back a step now, I'm kind of want to make sure that everything I do does feel not just right to me, but right to her. So I'm learning to dance that dance. So pardon my vagueness. And of course, I want to be of help to anybody that has ever been in a similar situation. But I also don't want to put everything of hers out on display. And I also don't want to put, by the way, everything of mine out on display anymore. One of the beautiful things that this time offline has really showed me is that having things that are sacred to myself, whether they are thoughts, pictures, memories, stories, is really important. And I don't think I've ever really been somebody that like laid it all out. But the things that have become sacred to me have really become illuminated. My relationship, my marriage is really, really, really important to me. And Evan and I don't get a lot of time together with his work and his travel. And the phone, I have come to even more see how interruptive it is. And even if it's, oh, let me just take this quick picture or let me do this, it changes the presence. It's like having a third person there. And to be quite honest, I can't afford that in my marriage right now because we don't get a lot of time for presence and deep connection. And anything that slices through that, even if it's a paper cut, it bleeds. It makes us bleed. So getting really clear on what matters and what I need to protect and keep sacred is something that I'm really happy I got to kind of figure out, because if I kept going, right, I wouldn't have had this check-in. And then I wouldn't know what's important. And I wouldn't know why I'm bleeding out energy. And then I wouldn't know why my relationship feels like this or why I feel anxious at night or anything like that. So I feel like the best way to describe what's happening to me, it's going to sound funny, is that I'm like maturing. You know, so much of my life on social media has been like being the silly, loud, funny person. And I am always going to be silly. And if we ever, you know, get to meet in person, you will certainly see my silly, quirky, fun dancing moments. I mean, last night in Isoli and I were doing the Macarena in her room. But there's also a more serious tone to me that feels appropriate to use on the internet. I don't know if I'm that same girl I was 10 plus years ago when I entered the chat. And I'm glad that I'm not. I'm sad in a way too, because it's not that I'm not fun, but there was something kind of nice about how naive in moments she was that I no longer carry, because there is more wisdom and experience in my life. Anyway, one of the reasons that I really wanted to take this break is because I needed space in my life and I needed to really connect with the good. Tara Brach says that we need, I think it's 30 seconds to connect with the joy in our lives for it to steep in and get those feel good chemicals. And when I am working, I'm often in rush mode, whether I have to record the podcast, do this, do that, do that. Da, da. And so having permission to like get stuck in a what's it called, a contact nap with Soli or do all these different things was really, really, really good for me. And really see that time can move slowly. I have a note in my phone from August. I don't remember writing it, but that's why notes are good, that says time can move really slowly when you're present. And this summer specifically, because the break was only supposed to be 3 months, I was on a quest to see how can I add spaciousness in my life? How can I not live with such vigilance? I didn't expect to learn everything that I learned at all. I just wanted to have a touch more ease and spaciousness in my life and remove all the stimulants and the to-do list and all of that. But what ended up happening is that summer was really my favorite season, long and drawn out in the best way possible. And it was also very hard emotionally, right? Like I shared how hard it was in the beginning of this, but it was really cool to see how presence can have an effect on time. Time is something that I'm always thinking about because it's like fixed, right? And yet sometimes time goes fast and sometimes time goes slow. And sometimes we want time to go fast and sometimes we want time to go slow. But it's always just being time. It doesn't change at all. But I feel like I extended and expanded the corners and the boundaries of summer with this presence that I gave to myself, my daughter, and my home. One of the things that I've really come to realize is that I believe, I hope this isn't taken wrong, that I can't do it all as a mom and a woman. I know there are some people that can wear like 800 hats, but I can't do it all and do it well. So for this time being, I guess I kind of chose without even exactly realizing that I chose to be mom, and a mom that's on her phone a lot less too, by the way, and a mom that gives presence. Again, privilege. I hear it. I see it. It makes me feel very uncomfortable because I know that not everybody gets to experience this. But one thing about me is that I have always loved children. And I dreamed of having a family with young kids. Babies, very hard. Toddlers, my experience was a little bit older than with Soli, who's about 2.5 now, by the way. I was always, I love being around children. I think they're fun. They add the spaciousness. They disrupt that rigidity of time. And one of the things I've really basked in is realizing that, don't get me wrong, these are really hard days and nights. Like I said, we're not sleeping still 2.5 years later. And you know, she has meltdowns over seemingly, quote unquote, nothing. But these are like the best days of my life. Having a toddler running with her little footsteps all over the house, words that she says that are just so funny and crack us up, her storytelling, her being up at 3 a.m. and singing happy birthday. Like, I don't know what world and vortex I've been sucked into, but as hard as it is, I really, really, really love it. And I'm so grateful to be able to bask in it a bit. I think that the hardness of raising children, granted, I have one, I know a lot of people have more, and I can only imagine how difficult this is, but I have felt such a luxury in how exhausting it is. And then also realizing, like, this is a season and it's not always going to be like this. And my house is so full and there's so much excitement and loudness and stuff everywhere. And I just let it be. It feels amazing. And I try my hardest to also not grip onto it so tightly, because gripping can create attachment that doesn't allow you to be present. So it's this delicate dance of, how can I be with this moment without trying to hold on so tightly to it, so that I can get the feel-good effects, knowing that it won't always be this simple, for lack of a better word. So yeah, a lot has been happening with me. What am I up to this year work-wise? There are a couple things in the works. I actually, this past weekend, just finished another yoga training that has me feeling very excited to maybe start teaching. But the only thing concrete and major in the works is planning the next meetreat, which is Camp Meetreat in April in the jungle of Mexico. The official details, I don't think, will be out when this podcast comes out, but it will be, depending on when you listen to it, over at TheMeTreatByLisa.com, or like I've said, the best way to stay up to date is to be on my newsletter, who's going to get first dibs on applying. But I'm very excited about it. Tracy and I, my co-host, she was also the lead yoga teacher on the last one. She's an incredible person in my life that has transformed everything about the way I practice yoga, the way I think, the way I act, the way I mother. She's just, God bless Tracy. Tracy and I went to Mexico for 20 hours on Sunday. That was all we could squeeze in with our mother responsibilities, to do a site visit. So a site visit is where we make sure that the location that we've been looking at is as good as it appears online, and we go through everything top to bottom so that we can create a great event. Site visits are absolutely necessary for me. I take my role as host and bringing people on a journey very, very, very seriously. Anyway, we were so wowed by this experience that the flight home, we were just like pouring out all of the content that is going to flow and work so well with the Mayan sacred lands and the power of the property that we've chosen. I'm excited to share more, but I'll hold off for now. All I will say is that we have the entire property to ourselves and our own private cenote. And if you don't know what a cenote is, Google C-E-N-O-T-E to be absolutely wowed. It's going to be, I think, one of my most proud productions if we pull off all that is coming to our imagination and manifest the most incredible, transformative retreat that will bring you home to your truthiest self. So I wanted to read a few of the replies that I got to the first newsletter that I sent out in early winter.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
So I wanted to read a few of the replies that I got to the first newsletter that I sent out in early winter. And somebody said, I have no excuse to not slow down, prioritize me, and start chasing joy. The weird thing is it feels scary. It's easier for me to thrive on caffeine and adrenaline and my job. It's hard for me to slow down and listen to my insides, but I'm going to practice. I love this because this is me. The second, but I've been caffeine free for a while, so I know about that decaf life. But the second that I have a sip of caffeine or my adrenaline starts going, it's a lot easier to go fast than it is to go slow. So I applaud you. Another one said, while I don't currently check my email consistently, as everything related to technology and my phone feels overstimulated, yours landed in my inbox at the same time and I happened to read it. Reading your email made me feel like I'm not crazy for feeling how I'm feeling, and I'm not the only one going through nervous system dysregulation on such a high level. And I just want to say to this that I think a lot of people are unaware of how their phones do create a sense of dysregulation, urgency, overstimulation, and I know that they are such an integral part of our lives for so many important reasons, but it's important to also be able to take that step back. So for anybody that like feels validated by that sentence, by that reader, go ahead and maybe you too take a step back of using your phone so much or some social media apps, whatever feels right for you. So in that email, I said, ask me anything and I will do my best to answer. And the first question that I got was it hard to go offline? And I have to say that I have another note in my phone that just straight up says, I love not being an influencer, with like a big exclamation point. I don't remember writing that one either, but I will say that it has been really nice to, first of all, not capture everything. People have this idea that memories are photos or videos. So like people might say, wow, our kids are going to have so many memories because we captured everything. That's not a memory. That is a capturing of something that happened. A memory is imprinted within our bodies. And yes, pictures can maybe help us remember a memory, but a lot of the times the pictures, we just remember the picture, not the actual memory and emotion. So it has been really nice to be with a delicious moment in my home or a delicious meal out or just something that I so badly want to keep and capture and not. One of the practices in yoga is non-hoarding. I forget the Sanskrit word for it right now, but this is the one of the ways that we don't hoard. And the meaning is don't try and capture and grip and hold on to everything. It's almost like a little bit greedy. But the opposite of that is a freedom that comes with experiencing it. And it's like, shouldn't be this revolutionary. But I think that like Kodak Moments, which like started it all, like capture the moment, has bled into the 2024 version of that, which is like, see something, take a picture, 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 picture. But all it has really done is interrupted presence in many situations. Don't get me wrong. I love a photo. I love videos. This is not, you know, a black and white conversation, but it is really nice to be with a moment rather than document a moment. And it has also been really nice to go through big things in politics and not be under scrutiny as to what I'm going to say or how I'm going to say it. As I look back the last couple of heavy years, there was a lot of pressure to say something because there was a lot of awful things happening. And yet I'm somebody who needs to sit back, dig, learn, emotionally process, which can take me a long time, and then emerge. And there's also topics that I do not feel I need to speak on, even if I am exploring them personally. And I think that, like, for me, that has been one of the most profound things I didn't know I was feeling being online, and the heaviness of like just having to go through something emotionally heavy in the world, process it, and then speak so fast wasn't healthy for me. So just being able to process on my own time and not have, like, you need to come up with a clear statement so that you can speak out about the injustices has felt like such a freedom to me that I didn't know that I didn't have before. Next question is, what's weighing heavy on me these days? And what does my version of tapping into love during dark times look like? So first part of this question, what's weighing heavy? So many things. I used to use the word emotional sifting, where I like go inside and I unpack my suitcase of all the things. And I feel like the biggest one is just the state of the world. It's just soul crushing. And moving a little bit more superficial is I have a lot of people going through really hard things in my life. My friend Margaret, if you're listening, I love you. She was on this podcast for her breast cancer journey. She recently got news that it spread to her liver and her bones. And if you didn't listen to that episode, she's a mom of two and she's the most incredible, upbeat person I've ever met in my life. And I admire her so, so, so much. And she's also takes a lot of her health into her own hands. So if you are interested in supporting Margaret and remember the episode that she was on, her cousin created a little bracelet you can buy and support. I'm going to link that below too. And if she starts a GoFundMe, I know she didn't want to because she doesn't want to ask people for money. If she starts a GoFundMe, I'm going to link that below too so you could learn a little bit more about Margaret, her story, and if you feel called to support, support. After I sent out that email too, I heard from my friend Shanna Hutchison, Wellness for the Win on Instagram. And she had her second baby right after I got out of the hospital with Soli. And I remember her posting images from the hospital and things didn't go as planned for her. Trigger warning for anybody who is listening that might be sensitive to this type of content. I remember briefly seeing the images and it was just on the brink of me coming out of Soli's hospitalization and I was just too raw to see the images. So I didn't fully take in the story of what had happened other than seeing it and getting a snippet. But I think self-protective wise, I just kind of scrolled past without taking the weight and gravity of what had happened. Anyway, she reached out to me after I sent my email to share the story of what happened. And essentially, her son Levi was born in May via C-section after his heart rate started to decline. And he ended up being diagnosed with hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy, which basically means he sustained a severe brain injury due to the lack of oxygen during delivery. And he was in the NICU for 29 days. And since then, he has been on a feeding tube and been diagnosed with epilepsy and dystonia and many more days in the hospital following the NICU stay. You know, when I got that note from Shanna and I had Amaya, who works for me, kind of, I didn't want to burden her by like, tell me everything that's going on. So I had her share anything she publicly shared. So she sent me screenshots of her Instagram and she's sharing life from, you know, the hospital bed with your baby in a diaper, and everything she wrote just took me right back to where I was for just 10 days total of my life. 2 5-day visits that felt like eternity, which is so much more for other people. And, you know, my career as a medical mom, as they call it, was very short-lived compared to this ongoing thing that Shanna deals with and so many people deal with. And that's where my heaviness kind of comes from in being so lucky so far of going through something terrible, but not having it consume my entire life. It really, really, really gives you clarity as to what other people are going to, which makes you a more compassionate person. When I heard about Shanna's story and all the medical stuff going on, I created a GoFundMe for her. And I will share that as well if you're interested in learning more about her story. She's just a really beautiful, supportive person. She's breastfeeding him, although he cannot eat by way of boob. He's actually on a tube feed. So she is pumping a million times a day just so that this baby can be tube fed with her breast milk. And if you have ever pumped, you know how challenging that is, let alone to go through this extra hurdle of putting it through the tube. I commend her so much for that. I mean, I commend her so much regardless, but my heart breaks for that part specifically. And when you see all the cumbersome things that it takes to keep this child having the best life possible, her force and her vigor is just contagious and at the same time uplifting. So if you feel called to help her and her family out, I'm going to share that below as well. And tapping into love during my dark times, what does it look like? This is a really good question. Because just this past week, I feel like I unlocked a next level version of myself that I know 2024 is going to be a really big year for me. I have gotten really serious about my daily practices of pranayama, meditation, journaling. Does not mean that I don't miss days sometimes because I have life with a toddler and it's just one of those things. But with that has become an intense connection to using different parts of myself to better understand when things are kind of not right. So from my breath to my monkey brain to my somatic experiences, I just feel like I've unlocked this deeper level of interoception, I think is the correct word for it here, of like using all the internal senses to better understand what's going on in the mind, body, and spirit. And therapy as well has really been huge for me these last couple of months. Despite being with the same therapist for 7 years, I feel like we just like unlocked this next level. So the question was, what's your version of tapping into love during dark times? But it seems that the only way to get to love is for me to lift some of the dark. And to lift some of the dark means I need to unpack some of the things. And the best way to unpack is to not pack so much. So the daily routine shoveling out keeps me at a lighter state and helps me feel when things are out of balance more easily. And from that, I can lean more into compassion and compassion for self, but maybe perhaps more importantly for other people, for experiences that are not mine. And sometimes leaning into love can mean just dancing in my room at night alone after I get the baby to sleep. It can look like having an really needed emotional reconnection with my husband. It can look like belly laughing and giving in to just being so present with my daughter that nothing else matters in that moment. It's kind of an abstract answer to a direct question, but it's the best I got. Okay, what kind of clarity have you gained in taking this time off about you, your authentic self, and your desires? I think I kind of answered that as we've gone on here. I've gotten lots of clarity and I've still gotten lots of question marks. And I'm really comfortable with that. And I know that this journey has a long way for me to still go. Next question is, one thing that I really admire about you is your ability to do what works best for you and tune out a lot of the noise and pressure from the rest of the world, or to fork the noise, as you say. I struggle with caring too much about what others think and making decisions based on what society dictates. I honestly don't know what actually works best for me or what I want, since I'm so used to following that. I'm so used to following what I'm told to do or what is expected of me. I know this is super broad, but any insight you can provide how to tune into and honor your needs would be great. So the first thing that comes up when I read this is to say, if you don't listen to yourself, you will be yelled at. If we ignore the whispers of our truth, it ends up being a scream. In some way, we start to break down either emotionally or physically. Things just start to break if we don't listen to the whispers. So I do encourage you to listen to the whispers and to know that the whispers are there. I also want to say that none of us, including me, really ever know if we're on the right path, right? We can't say, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and end up here. There's so much messiness in between the path that we go to set on and the destination we're trying to get out. But I do believe that we only know what is right for the right now. So rather than getting lost in the, if I do this, this happens. If I do that, that happens. Where I try to make decisions from, and at that point, they don't even become choices. They're like so clear to me. It's, what do I need right now? And a lot of times that comes with being misunderstood. But one of the things that I have really gotten clarity on this past couple of weeks in journaling is that, and this feels so good, by the way, is that I'm okay being misunderstood publicly, professionally, personally, in my relationships, indefinitely, meaning like something happens to me, people think that I'm one way when it's not the truth. I am not so concerned with clearing up and making sure everybody understands me, but I am committed to staying true to myself and honoring my own needs, which oftentimes does not come with the full-on explanation. So just wanted to share that. And yeah, I think that a lot of times we spend time trying to make the most risk-averse and reward positive choices. But like I said, we really don't have a clue which way life is going. And I'm curious, as I said that sentence, how that made you feel, either more scared or more free. But I hope that you can lead into the more freeing aspect of really knowing that we don't know which way life is going to go. Next question is, what are you working on? And I'm really excited to share that despite being offline, I have been working on 3 trainings, and not 3 at once. It's kind of like one started, then the second started, now one stopping, and I'm in my third. One is a mindful mentor training program so that when I do lead groups, I can be a better facilitator and really use skillful tools and language and ways to manage groups, because I do want to host more retreats and work with groups in general. That's a little bit vague, but we'll leave it at that for now. I also, maybe to surprise or no surprise, will be wrapping up this weekend my second 200-hour yoga teacher training. So where I last left you, I finished my 300-hour last year with Yoga Shanti, and I felt very called to do their 200-hour. Now, some people who don't know the process might be like, you already have your 200-hour. That's the basic entry-level yoga teacher training that anyone can do. So I'm in a training with people that have never done a training before, despite having 500 hours now, which, by the way, is a very normal thing to do if you do want to be a good yoga teacher. Many people go back, do multiple 200 hours, do multiple 300 hours, cherry pick their trainings from different places. But in doing the 300 hour, I felt like my work at Shanti was nowhere near done. And it's not only good for teaching yoga, but it's good for me acquiring skills. I learned so much from my teachers, Colleen Sadman and Rodney Yee. And they have been such forces in my life. And I'm so glad that I did this, because I'm wrapping up tomorrow with my final exam, and I couldn't feel more excited and sad that it's over. And I don't usually get that way by the end of programs. Normally by the time programs are finishing up, I'm just like excited to be done, but I'm really going to miss having that time with them to, you know, not just be a mother and be a student and continue to learn from everything that they say and do. I also want to give a shout out to my mentors, Sandy and Seamus, who have led the program, and they have really become such a resource for me. And I don't just mean like a cognitive resource. They have become an emotional resource, a safe place for me to land and ask questions without judgment, without fear of, is this a stupid question? Sandy specifically as my mentor, oh, God bless that woman. So I'll be finishing that up. And I'm also working on another training, which is a breathwork course. And I'm not sure what I want to do with it yet, but I felt very called to take it, or if I will do anything with it. Essentially, all this really comes down to is reducing harm and learning more about the nervous system and helping people become more in tune with themselves. And I know that I'm a nutritionist by trade, and a lot of people might be confused because here I am pursuing all these different things. But what I have loved about yoga, maybe versus nutrition, does not mean I don't love nutrition. But what I love is that yoga and the studies that I've been exploring are a lot less black and white. There aren't as many concrete answers that the nutrition world finds itself in. And the funny thing about the nutrition world is nothing's really black and white. It's a very young science. We're constantly finding out that what we believe to be true is false, but we hold on to every bit as if it is truth, where I feel like there's so much more wiggle room in yoga. It's also a much more ancient practice. And with that comes that gray area. We really don't know exactly what was meant by A, B, C, and D. It's all a translation of what we think the practice of yoga beyond what was on the mat was meant to be. And what I've also really loved, I was having an appointment with somebody and I was telling her about the program and how great it has been to like be in study with this community, is something I really missed, the continual perpetual study. I feel like I finished grad school and my training, and then I just went back into my career, and having this constant mentorship, this community in person, especially after COVID, has been really, 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 really good for me, my mental health, and my own personal development. And I also do really want to become a really good yoga teacher, including asana, breath, and use that tool that continues to like help me peel like an onion to help people not just feel good emotionally, but also physically. These bodies are not really meant to last as long as we've been lasting. And with that comes so much pain and physical degradation. I have experienced physical pain in my body for a long time, and despite like looking like I wouldn't because I'm young and I'm thin and I'm all the things, I really spend a lot of time thinking about joint health, supporting my body, and how I can be in this body with as much ease as possible. And that's one of the reasons I was also drawn to Yoga Shanti, because their approach really takes that into consideration. It's not about the workout or the sweat. And although sometimes it is, it's really about the integrity of the body, the nervous system, sequencing, brilliant sequencing, and really knowing the roots and history of yoga, where it came from, so that we cannot misappropriate it, but rather tell its story in full with time. So that's where I've been. That's where I'm going. I am really so thankful that you've interested to listen to this episode. And like I said, I don't know how regularly I'll be popping on here. Shout out, by the way, to Amy Brown, whose podcast network I am on, for allowing me to have the freedom to use it in this way. And Houston, my incredible editor, for hanging on and always helping me out when I need an episode turned around quick. And I don't know exactly how I'll be popping onto social media and serving, but I do know that I have been loving writing and sharing, and I would love to be using my Substack mostly. So if you want to be on my newsletter, I will link that in the show notes below. Thank you for listening and being part of this update about self, family, and the journey that I've been on. And I love you all so much.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.